This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. One of the most eagerly anticipated announcements in medical history occurred 50 years ago today. On April 12, 1955, the world learned that Jonas Salk's polio vaccine worked. The vaccine turned what was once a terrifying disease in this country into a memory. NPR's Joe Palca has the first of three reports on the science that created a successful vaccine and the people who did it.
If you were born after 1955, it's hard to appreciate just how scary polio was.
Here in Middletown, New York, a typical American town is caught in the fearful, silent grip of infantile paralysis. School closed because of polio. School closed.
Everybody was scared to death that the kid would get polio, so you took precautions. And we all grew up with the smell of Clorox everywhere.
Today, Beatrice Sharp-Slutsky is 65 years old. She still lives in Pittsburgh, not far from where she grew up. Polio is caused by a virus. It spreads easily from person to person, although only a tiny fraction of people infected become paralyzed. Beatrice Sharp-Slutsky was one of the unlucky ones.
My mother was doing laundry, and I was laying on a blanket in the backyard, and she said, can you go in and get me some more clothespins? And I went to go get up, but I could not get up.
Her father took her to Children's Hospital, where they diagnosed polio. She spent several weeks in isolation and then went to the D.T. Watson Home for Crippled Children for rehabilitation. By 1952, when Beatrice Sharp-Slutsky came down with the disease, a war against polio was well underway. This was no government initiative. Instead, a private charity called the National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis was paying for the fight. Today, that organization is known as the March of Dimes. Then, Basil O'Connor was its leader.
The forces of science and health carry on a perpetual offense in this struggle, for it is the war against disease.
One of O'Connor's warriors was a brash young scientist named Jonas Salk. Salk had worked on influenza vaccines and was ready to switch to polio. With O'Connor's support, he set up a lab at the University of Pittsburgh and began to work on a polio vaccine. A critical step in making a vaccine was finding a way to grow the polio virus in the lab. Salk needed help doing that, so he recruited Julius Jungner. Jungner was an expert in getting viruses to grow in flasks of cells.
So Jonas said, if you come here, I just would make one request, and that among the viruses that you work with polio, because that's who's funding us. And I said, that's no problem. That's not a problem at all.
Vaccines work by stimulating the immune system, getting it ready to fight off a specific invader, in this case polio. Jungner says Salk's plan was to make what's called a killed virus vaccine using virus produced by Jungner's cell cultures.
This was a decision that went against the dogma of the time.
Most scientists of the day were convinced that to get an adequate immune response, you needed what's called a live attenuated virus vaccine. This weakened virus doesn't cause disease, but it does keep copying itself after it's injected, so it's always stimulating the immune system. Salk's killed virus vaccine could only stimulate the immune system once. Jungner says O'Connor's National Foundation had created an advisory committee to decide which vaccines the foundation should spend its money on.
These people on this committee were older, more experienced, more prestigious than Jonas, and he had a tough fight, which I wasn't part of. I was in the lab, happy as a clam, working in the lab. He fought all these battles, and they were really intense battles that he fought.
In the end, Salk convinced O'Connor to support his vaccine. O'Connor wanted a vaccine as soon as possible, and Salk's was the closest to being ready. The first step was to try the vaccine in people who already had polio to see if it could boost their immune system. Salk got permission to test his vaccine on the patients at the D.T. Watson home. Beatrice Sharp-Slutsky remembers seeing Salk frequently at the home.
And one Sunday, my parents were down there visiting, and he said to them, do you mind if I use your daughter, Beatrice, in my experiments? And my parents said, no, go ahead, that's all right.
So in 1952, 13-year-old Beatrice got the new Salk vaccine. But it was scary, taking a vaccine that had never been tried in humans. Maxine Fisher was also at the D.T. Watson home being treated for polio.
When Dr. Salk asked my parents, I told my parents to please say no, that I had had enough of polio. I thought it was very nice that he was doing this, but if anybody else wanted to be a guinea pig, fine, but I was too afraid.
Enough children did get the vaccine for Salk to see that it was boosting their immunity, and none of the children in the study got sick from the vaccine. The next step was to try it in healthy children.
My name's Maxine Heller. I'm 58 years old, and I participated in the field trials of the Salk vaccine in 1954. I was a third grader at Linden School.
Maxine Heller was one of more than 600,000 children to be vaccinated as part of a nationwide study of the new vaccine. Maxine Heller remembers Vaccination Day at Linden School was a media event, with Jonas Salk himself giving the injections.
And as we approached the tables, he just swabbed off our arms and eased in the needle. And of course, I was screaming my head off because I was terrified of shots, needles of any kind.
The vaccine trial was one of the largest ever undertaken. Vaccine expert Thomas Francis at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor took on the job of evaluating the results. It took him nearly a year to complete the analysis.
This is Tuesday, April 12th, 1955, a day which may well mark the most significant event in all of medical history.
This was the day Francis would officially announce the results of the vaccine study, although in fact leaks to the press had already indicated the vaccine worked. Still, it was an electric moment when Francis took the stage at Rackham Hall on the Michigan campus.
Vaccination was 80% to 90% effective against paralytic poliomyelitis. That it was 60% to 70% effective against type 1, and that 90% or more effective against the disease caused by type 2 and type 3 virus.
Not perfect protection, but good enough for celebration. It seemed the end of the scourge of polio was at hand. Then it was Salk's turn to speak.
If it were necessary to single out one person, without whom all this would not have been possible, I would not have to think at all before mentioning the name of Basil O'Connor, president of the National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis. It is of people like him that Emerson said many years ago, the reward of a thing well done is to have done it.
Salk went on to thank others who had helped him in his quest, but in his moment of triumph, Salk revealed a less charitable side of his personality. Many of his colleagues from Pittsburgh had come to Ann Arbor to share in the moment, including Julius Jungner, the man whose cell culture work had made Salk's vaccine possible.
I was sitting right there in the audience with my colleagues, the other scientists. We were sitting together. And then he gets up and he thanks everybody but the people who helped him get there. He mentions all the names. You know, I thanked the head of the chancellor of the university and dean of the medical school and the head of D.T. Watson Home and on and the nurses who helped me and so forth. Nothing. And it was a feeling of tremendous betrayal. That's the only word I can use.
Jungner says Salk had become convinced that he was scientifically superior to his colleagues, insisting on praise for himself alone, even though others had played critical roles. Jungner left Salk's lab soon after the Michigan announcement, although he remained at the University of Pittsburgh. Today, at age 84, he's an emeritus professor there. He accepts Jonas Salk's place in history as the man who conquered polio, but he also knows there's more to the story. Joe Palka, NPR News.
A polio timeline and oral histories from people who helped develop and test the polio vaccine are at npr.org.